Good morning, everybody. Boy, and I'm looking out in the group here. We got a lot of people. We need to make sure we say Happy Mother's Day, too. So good to see all of you this morning. Our senior youth has got something that you'll be getting as you leave this morning. Because as you also leave today, today is the second Sunday of the month, so we are going to have a fellowship this morning that they are also hosting. It'll be our final fellowship until fall. But I hope you can stay for a little bit and join us for that. Always a very special time. And while you are on your way out towards fellowship, we've got sign-up sheets in both narthexes, back by where the guest register is, here in the first narthex, and then back on one of the tables on the other. There's a sign-up sheet for next weekend's our prayer walks. And these are going to be extra special things. On Saturday from 2 to 4... on Saturday from 1 to 3, and then next Sunday from 2 to 4, hopefully we'll have better weather for the prayer walk next Saturday than what we would have yesterday. But we're going to be walking both in our community and in Sims Park, and we're just going to be looking for opportunities to find people, to engage in our community, find some things to pray with. And on that topic, I've got a little something I'm going to talk about in my message that's especially for that occasion, but something that you can take with you, whether you're actually going on a prayer walk or not. It's just a little tiny tool that helps us with some things that some people don't need to help with, but some do and would appreciate having that. Once we're done with our fellowship, our Bible study that we've already done it once, but a lot of people were not able to be a part of it. It's a wonderful video-based Bible study called Death, Then What? Yes, it's going to explore one of the things of life that brings us to everlasting life, but also visits for us moments of tragedy that so many of us have such vivid memories of. And there are some Sundays that there's some tough things to go through. It's kind of the people kind of go through just what their experience was. But so it's a powerful Bible study, but a very good Bible study. And we're going to be starting that again Sunday starting today. So we hope you can join us. I don't have a certain period of time that's going to take place, but it will be Sundays here in the sanctuary between our services as long as it takes us to get through it. So, and then finally, I have been asked to make this announcement here that thank you to everyone who helped us to reach our goal for the altar pyramids. Now, we've dedicated them into the Lord's service, but the goal has finally been met, and they are indeed a beautiful addition to our worship and praise of our living Lord. And we kind of had to wait to make that announcement this Sunday because we had to put up the red for confirmation last Sunday, but they're back up with us. And these are the pyramids that whenever we don't have a celebration like a Christmas or something like that, we'll be putting these up specifically for that purpose. So please let us know that you were here this morning. Fill out those faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. We never, as we get closer to summer, it seems like we never fail to have guests in worship. We did again last night, and I know we're going to have some more today. So help us with that a little bit. That helps us keep track of things. Finally, we have a number of prayer requests that we have to remember for today. Jerry Brock was hospitalized last Sunday when we went through worship, and he only got out of the hospital Friday night, but he is released now. And then the family of Bill Deaver, much of that family, they're from Connecticut, but they are snowbirds, and they come down here. They were among the first of our snowbirds to leave this past year, but unfortunately, the funeral for Mr. William Deaver is this coming Tuesday down in Tarpon Springs, and so the family's going to be down here today. Same thing, we have a snowbird by the name of Darlene Alexander, and she is in Maryland when she's not here. She just had major surgery on Friday, and so we're going to remember her also in our prayers for this morning, as well as our mothers and as well as those that are going to be taking communion for the first time at our 11 o'clock service this morning. Our order of service this morning is traditional morning prayer. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in confession. Confident of his grace, mercy, and forgiveness for Jesus' sake, beginning with a time of silence. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, for apostles and martyrs who have gone before us. We confess that we have not always made a clear witness to the salvation you won for us in your death and resurrection. Forgive us and give us opportunities to witness to you the way, the truth, and the life. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that you graciously call us as your holy nation, your royal priesthood. We confess that in our life and conduct, we have too often reflected the world around us rather than our membership in the body of Christ. Forgive us and strengthen us to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. We give thanks, O Holy Spirit, that you have worked faith in our hearts so that we may approach the throne of grace with every petition. We confess that too often we seek to bend your will to ours, failing to trust you, not only for the place you have prepared for us in eternity, but also for that which is best for us today. Forgive us and open our hearts to receive your answers, which are always better than our prayers. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are his own people. Thanks to the grace and mercy that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the fifth Sunday of Easter. The first lesson from Acts chapter 6. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is executed. St. Luke writes, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Perimus and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, 'Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of the young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2. You are living stones in God's house. The apostle writes, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. By it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in scriptures, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a wreck of offense. Then they stumbled because they disobeyed the word, and they themselves destined to do. But you are a chosen one, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for this own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text for this morning is about our gospel, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Remember also these words from our second lesson, from the words of Peter. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light. Of all of the sermon titles that I have used over my course of times, this might be about the strangest. I'm just going to let you stare at it for a minute and try to see if you can make any sense out of it. And I guess I'll give you a hint. Boy, if you can, you're a better person than I am. I put this up here because there was a time I was in high school, I was taking junior level English. And the person that had been our English teacher for the first 6 months went out on maternity leave for the rest of the year. And the person that came in and took her place was a rather elderly teacher. I guess as credentials go, well-decorated, very knowledgeable, all these other things. And the very first thing that she pulled out was a little piece of paper that was about 6 pages, and we were supposed to write a report on it, a primer of existentialism, if you want to know how that's pronounced. How many of you have ever heard of existentialism? Okay, a few hands went up, and last night I got a couple of these from people. Yeah, there are. It's one of those things that in the 1970s, when I was going to school and college and so forth, there were more isms in the world of psychology and so forth than you can ever shake a stick at. You don't hear any of them anymore today. And as I was reading this primer of existentialism, it was clear to me that this was going to be right down the same line. And I don't know. I guess that's the first time I began to understand that my eyes saw things differently than a lot of students did. And I wrote a paper where I said, this much I can tell you. Existentialism and every other human ism, not just humanism, but human ism, is going to come and go just as we do. And we're wasting our time if we honestly think that we're growing, that we are growing our academic knowledge by learning about these things. Far better for us to learn what it is that the people don't know out there and try to give us the tools to help them learn it. It successfully got me my first F in high school. She didn't like that one bit. Apparently had its effect. By the end of the year, there was so much stuff that was coming that just didn't make sense to the students that I guess at that point she did retire and realized, okay, maybe there is something here. But there are a lot of things in our lives that we have seen that when they come on, it's a really big deal. It doesn't even have to be a philosophy. Any of you know what the latest new thing in schools is? Fidget spinners. Yep. They're called fidget spinners. These things are really the big deal. People are going to every store, every place they can, every internet source they can to try to find some. And wow. If you had heard even a year ago of something called that, I'd have been amazed. And if, to be honest, if those things are around in 20 years, I'll be shocked. Now, there's a few things that have continued on. But we always seem to fall for the latest ad, and some of these things are good. Some of these things, okay, if it gives us some entertainment or whatever, fine. But there are certain things in life that are never going to change. The state of humanity is one of them, and the Lord's answer to the state of humanity is another. And for that, we can be grateful. One of the things that we learn about life is that while life wants to live a certain way, the way our Lord wants us to proceed is always something different. And one of the best examples would be to look at a couple of terms that would seem to be opposites. We have this term that is called inclusive. And the opposite of inclusive would be exclusive. Now, as we first think about those two terms, supposedly the idea of being inclusive has this whole idea of wrapping an arm around a whole bunch of stuff and drawing it in so we're all right there. The idea of being exclusive is almost like we're going to build a wall and push away. And you would almost get the impression, well, who would want to be that? And yet, let's take a journalist, for example. When a journalist wants a story, to make sure that he is the one that gets the angle that no one else gets. He tries to set up what is called an exclusive. Not an inclusive, exclusive, where this is his. It belongs to him. And he's going to share the knowledge of what he has learned. Well, friends, I have news for you. You are part of the most exclusive religion, the most exclusive faith in the world, by Jesus' own words. Now, I'm not usually one to fiddle around with the words of Holy Scripture. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life, and he is. But realistically, as he was saying that, there was a short little word that very easily could have been placed in front of each of those three words. Because guess what? Jesus isn't just the way. He is the only way. He isn't just the truth. He is the only truth. And he isn't just the life. He is the only life. Yes, that is exclusive. Jesus brings to us what no one else can. And there is no other way unto heaven by which we must be saved. And for that, we can be eternally grateful, my friends. Because the exclusiveness of him who is the way, the truth, and the life is the only way that's going to include all of God's people. Find them a way to the kingdom of heaven. Because there's a lot of false ways out there. Ways that seem to be obvious to some people, but they aren't. I don't know how many of you know much about the game of golf or care, but this weekend in Florida is another one of the golf tournaments, probably the biggest one that they usually have in Florida. It is simply called the Players' Championship. Ever since they started having this tournament, they have at that golf course what is now probably the most famous signature golf hole in the entire world of golf. It is the 17th hole up at a place called Pontevedra Beach. And this 17th hole, it's just a short little hole. I mean, just about anybody could take out some kind of a club and reach it. But the green is a tiny little circle on an island, water all around it. And no matter how good you are, they love putting up the statistics. And if you manage to find the tournament for 5 minutes this afternoon, at some point, you won't even have to watch it very long. They will post for you how many golf balls of the greatest golfers in the world have managed to find something other than the island, as in the water. I believe the number through the first 2 days was almost 60. I don't even know how many golfers go to these things. 60 golf balls had already found the bottom of the pond. These are the people who have the best sense of what the way is and how to accomplish it. And the rate of failure is shocking. And they're the best. You can translate that to life very easily. There are a lot of people who are experts at everything from existentialism to whatever else that might be out there that claim to have a way to direct a human life. And they're all going to end up at the bottom of a pond. The only way that's going to get us to where we really need to go, the place our Father has, in my Father's house, another version of the Bible translates it, not just rooms, mansions. If it were not so, Jesus said, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? That's the truth. One of the truths that we find out about life is that supposedly in this day and age, I was just reading an article a couple of days ago, and of course it was some sort of a political writer who now is trying to claim, well, I guess ever since he started getting called out that nothing that he's writing is the truth, well, apparently there is no such thing as truth anymore, he claims. Well, there is. It's not going to be found by making something else, whether it be politics, whether it be another person, whether it be the world itself. Anything else that we make the bottom line truth other than our Lord and Savior is going to turn into a lie, and it's going to become nothing. Jesus gave us the truth of his word. It's not an easy truth, but it is the real truth. And what makes that truth the most astounding thing of all is that the way of Jesus must go past the cross. And that's the truth. There's a person who became a major religious figure after he had become a major Watergate figure from many years ago. His name was Charles Colson. I believe many of you have heard of him. And writing once, he commented on what it must be like to have been the apostles. And he writes, "These men were persecuted for their faith, and virtually every one of them ended up being killed," or as the word, the word that we heard this morning was martyred, "for a truth that they were holding on to, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead." I watched a lie that was being practiced and practiced over and over again by a group of men fall like a house of cards in a matter of weeks. These men kept the truth of Jesus Christ died and risen to their graves. Absolutely right. That is the truth that we live on, my friends, because that's the only truth that brings to us life, the real life. And that's why Jesus said to us, "Look, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Because Jesus Christ, if he has conquered death, just imagine what he has and will do for you. Many of the things of which you probably don't even realize. There is just as much that our Savior has done for you in your life that you will never know or understand than of things that he has done that you know well about. That's what life in him is all about. And because of that life, he calls for us then to live a life that brings to us something very special, something that shows that we do know who God is, that even though no one comes to the Father except through him we can do so much. Next weekend, we're going to be going out on a prayer walk, and we have prepared these special, it looks kind of like a bookmark, but there are all these interesting little prayers on here. Now, some people don't need a card to help pray, but some really struggle with that. So we prepared this card, whether you use it as help to start some prayers that you can pray with other people, or you give this to somebody to give them some prayers here's a couple of examples: a time of loneliness, a recent blessing, a prayer for my community, a time of sadness, when I have done something bad, someone who needs your help, a prayer for my family. The list goes on and on here. Just short little prayers that we can share. Pray for ourselves, pray with ourselves, but pray for others as well. My friends, Jesus came into the world to remind us that he said, "If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" Which means when he says he's coming back, he will. But not until the place that he has prepared for you is ready to go. And try to imagine that for a moment. Not just many, many mansions for many people. Not just this wonderful generic place in heaven. A place so wonderful that John in the book of Revelation could not even describe. He ran out of words trying to talk about it. But a place in which at least a little piece of it has been prepared just for you. Not all of you, for you and you and you. That's what Jesus' care for you in heaven is all about. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He is the only way, the only truth and the only life. And that exclusiveness means that salvation is for everyone. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is up on the screen, and you may follow along on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. If you've not yet done so, please fill out the Faith Fellowship card. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you sent your Son into the world, not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom to redeem all people, where he then becomes the way, the truth, and the life. Give us a living faith in him, that our hearts may not be troubled, nor may they ever be afraid. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you for all of your lavish kindnesses that you share in our lives. As people who are constantly your witnesses, that also means that our lives are also placed on the line each and every time, and that Christians throughout the world continue to suffer persecution, even death, to hold on to the truth that is your word. But remind us every day that your mercy, your caring, your protection, and your love for us never has an end. You are with us, and you make sure that as many mansions have been prepared for us, you will continue to make us your people, a holy priesthood forever. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, O Father of light, you have revealed to us your word of truth in Jesus Christ. Pour out your Spirit on us, that he may continually plant your word first in our hearts, and then may use us as your chosen instruments to plant that same truth into the hearts of others. Lead us and keep us always in that truth. Unfold the full dimensions of your love for us and save us for your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Today we give thanks for the gift of Christian mothers who are part of the cornerstone of the Christian home. Surround each and every one of them with your presence, with your power, and as you have given them the strength to do all that being a mom requires, add to that your love, your peace, your comfort, your joy, moral purity, forgiveness, and all of the other things so that we may always be a reflection of the heavenly home that you are preparing for us even now. Lord, in your mercy, we lift up before you, O Lord, those who are going through difficult times of life. We pray for Jerry Brock, who's been hospitalized this week, on behalf of the family of William Deaver in their time of grief, on behalf of Darlene Alexander, Jim Cray, who have come through recent surgeries. We also ask a special blessing this morning on those who will be taking communion for the first time in our midst, who have been confirmed in the faith, who have now looked to you and realized that while their lives are not necessarily filled with certainty, it is filled with the understanding that you will be with them always and that that presence is never more real than the sacrament that you will bring to them. Bless and be with us all, dear Lord. Surround us with your love. Finally receive us into perfect, unbroken fellowship with you who has given to us the way, the truth, and the life. We pray this in your name. Amen. The closing unison collect is in the middle of page 9. We pray together. Blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in so many ways. Grant that we may give ourselves to your service in how we live and as we confess your holy name each day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Friends, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you.